Blog Talk Radio.
It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good afternoon, this is Claudia Cleary. I'd like to welcome you to Namaste Nutrition on Blog Talk Radio /GGM. It is 1 o'clock and I am so excited to have as my guest today on my show, Alaria Angriff, who is a very interesting woman. She lives in Florida and she does a variety of different things involving art, energy work, working with rocks, and also something near and dear to my heart, Karma Kitty. And I just would like to, among other things, and I'd just like to welcome her to the show. Alaria, welcome.
Thank you. I so am grateful to be able to be on your show today.
Well, I'm really grateful to have you here. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I was just petting my cat and thinking, Karma Kitty, how appropriate. Cats are such wonderful pets. Can you talk a little bit about what started you on this journey that you ended up in and on? Because I know that you have a very interesting background that isn't typically traditional of where you ended up working.
No, it really was not. I guess there's two approaches to look at it. I could say, I was born into it and I just kind of snapped into it. Looking back, even as a kid, as almost not bipolar, but how ambidextrous basically my entire life has been. Not just grade school and trying to figure out if I'm left-handed or right-handed, but literally an ambidextrous life. Say, for example, going through school, typically you're either English and, the arts or your math and science. I liked them both. So,
you are an anomaly. Isn't that an interesting statement?
Yeah. I mean, both sides of my brain, I hope, or at least in my mind, no pun intended, that they're pretty equal. I mean, I function very left brain and very right brain, just depending on the situation that I'm in. So, looking back, there was hints at where I'm at right now, as a child. I guess, basically my primary catalyst was late 20s. One of my parents, it was actually my father's wife, so my stepmother, I was let known that she was very terminally ill, came down to be the supportive daughter that was my role, and from dealing with her passing, which was a few years after my grandmother's passing, which was unbelievably traumatic for me, not having gone through really a death, with someone that was very close to me and meant a lot to me. So with my stepmother passing, it basically threw me into a tailspin, I went back to my traditional comfort zones, which, nothing against the Catholic Church. I grew up Roman Catholic. I still kind of default to that a little. But it wasn't filling that comfort need that I had. And I really emotionally and, logically, I couldn't really go to my father because I knew he was going through his own situation. So I kind of started looking elsewhere and happened to come across I don't even remember what class it was at the time, but it was like a class or a workshop, and I happened to pop in and just snowballed. I, being a stereotypical Sag, very, like, ADD when it comes to knowledge. So if I see something, I want to know about it, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I want to know about that too. So kind of like a catch-all or a shotgun approach, basically, to, you know, learning about different things, different approaches that I hadn't really been exposed to growing up, you know, researching on my own Buddhism and Taoism and linking into my head from my perspective. It's all basically the same thing, the same basic principles, just a little difference in wording. And, you know, kind of, I guess basically almost created kind of my own philosophy or my own kind of approach to life, or what, you know, I've always thought of, because it's not the standard norm for society. So just kind of been floating along my own little gypsy road ever since.
Well, it sounds like you've traveled a very interesting path in order to get to where you are. So where did you start out when you graduated college, and how has that changed over the last, you know, say, however many years that it's been?
Oh, goodness. College itself was a very left versus right brain kind of thing. I always took, you know, art classes, pottery, sketching. And at the same time, for fun, I took microbiology and ethics. So really, most people do not take those classes unless they have to. But for me, I wanted to know. So funny thing is, though, is I graduated out of university with, the easiest way to sum it up is calling it a business management degree with a minor or a focus in hotel restaurant management.
All art classes and microbiology and ethics, that's really interesting that that's what you ended up graduating with.
Oh, yeah. By the time I graduated, I mean, probably right now, if I went back and took, my guess would be one semester full-time of college courses, I could probably have like another 4 degrees. Mm-hmm. Because I graduated with almost 3 times the normal credits as what someone would need to graduate. But it was just, you know, I loved the knowledge part of it. You know, it wasn't the homework, it wasn't sitting in class, but I loved learning about different things that I know me. I need someone to kind of guide me with that, because if I'm left on my own, I'm literally like bouncing from one thing to another, and I don't finish looking into something.
Right.
I mean to, but I go, you know, it's the next pretty shiny thing and it catches me and off I go. So now I get to call that creative ADD. So
that's a good way of explaining it.
Yeah, I mean,
that thirst for knowledge, that hunger for wanting to know more, but not really knowing the direction you're going in. And it makes for a very interesting experience in life, because you're never going to stop learning, right?
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of, I guess, kind of coming into my own was battling with the stereotype that I felt I grew up with, which was, you needed to know what you were going to do, especially once you came out of school and you stuck with your plan and you didn't really deviate. And for me, I was just kind of, you know, I'd go along a path and then the path would fork and I'd be like, all right, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go over there. So it was me kind of going, all right, you know, it's fine. My mother or my relatives or my friends may look at me like I have 7 heads, because out of the blue, you know, I shift from being a hotel manager to a bank manager to working in a greenhouse. But to me, it was logical. You know, still very left brain for me was that path where, you know, to me it was business. You just were applying it differently. So it was, you know, me kind of saying, you know what, it's all right if I think the way I think. Nobody else has to think that way. And people that stayed in my life and continue to stay in my life are ones that kind of go, yep, that's just her.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, when you have somebody who is artsy like you are, you tend to pick up all kinds of little dribs and drabs of knowledge. So I would imagine that having you at a table when there's a trivia night going on would probably be a real blast.
As long as it's like random, useless acts of knowledge, then I would be phenomenal. But if it's, I mean, I couldn't tell you that. To me, pi is 3.14, and I don't care about the rest of the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool, though, because, you know, it makes for a very, very interesting time sitting and having a conversation with somebody who has that kind of a broad base of knowledge without a specific, how do I put this? You have a specific focus at a given moment in time. You don't have a specific focus when it comes to a specific area of interest. So, Jane of all trades and a master of none in many cases.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even like a very basic, you know, say socially, to put it in context almost, say in high school, you had every high school has them, and to me, not one is any better than the others, but you have the popular crowd, and you have the geeks, and you have the jocks, and you have the artsy people, and all of this stuff. I personally, just situations within the family, actually went through three different high schools in those 4 years, not because of my academic record, although that was kind of surprising. But, you know, through three different high schools and all of them. I had friends in each of those groups. I was never considered outside of any of those groups, but I was never really inside. I was kind of like on the outer circle of each and every one of them, which, you know, is definitely nowhere near normal or stereotypical, I should say, in any high school at any, you know, period in time. You know, I knew some people that would kind of float back and forth between one or two groups, but nobody really that hit almost every single group. And, you know, that was just me. I was kind of fine, you know. I'd kind of play in that pool for a little bit, and then I'd get out, and I'd go over and play in this other pool for a little bit and just, you know, kind of bounce around and enjoy the time that I was with those people in those situations. And it's, you know, looking at it now, it's just kind of my personality. That's how I guess, almost compartmentalize my brain when it comes to, all right, am I dealing with metaphysical? Am I dealing with corporate world? Am I dealing with the mineral and lapidary world? So my little inner science geek side is what I call it. You know, am I dealing with my animal world, which is my warm and fuzzy section, you know? So you just kind of, I kind of pop in and out of all of those little rooms and enjoy the scenery as I'm there.
I'd imagine that as an adult, having that kind of a background and that flexibility with your personality, you probably have enabled yourself to move within so many different worlds as an adult because you learned how to work within a lot of them as a kid. It's probably made your career choices and your career path somewhat different and unusual as well as interesting, too.
Yeah, I think I guess the PC term, like when I go into, you know, when I did straight full-time work and going in for interviews, I have a very eclectic background. So that's just a nice way of saying that I kind of bounce around to wherever I'm needed and wherever I feel comfortable. You know, we all do it. Some of us, you know, do it a little bit more blatantly than others, and you know, it's all good. It depends on your comfort level as far as, you know, how you deal with things and, you know, which kind of places we bop in and out of. So,
sure. So you ended up graduating from school and you were in the corporate world for a certain period of time, correct? Where were you in the corporate world? What exactly were you doing?
Oh, good Lord, where was I in corporate world? I was in management for hotels, management for banks, worked in a greenhouse, not even corporate world, but, you know, this is after university. I grew up working on a fruit farm that my family, you know, part of my family had. You know, so after college at one point, I went back and tried to help out there a little. Worked in, say, the sporting realm of tennis with, like, a tennis academy and also a clothing import company, which, I mean, anything that was internal in the office, I basically did at one point or another. At one point, I actually held the title of CFO for the import company. But at the same time, that was after a car accident, which limited me as far as what I could do on the tennis courts for the tennis academy. So I was no longer able to play tennis, so I kind of popped more work side. You know, I've been a general manager for a retail outlet. Gosh, I've been a payroll administrator for a corporate, you know, world where, you know, I think we processed payroll for 2,200 to 2,500 people a week. You know, I've done a little bit of everything, but to me, there's always been very similar aspects in all of those. And so the principles that you deal with or how you approach a situation, whether, you know, one job I'm looking at accounting and the next one I'm looking at employee scheduling. So you take little bits and pieces from every job and every coworker and every boss. And so it helps you, at least for me, be more adaptable in the next situation and be able to pull in things that, you know, I would hope help that current company because of my experience, because I can look at a situation differently than someone who's been in that same, you know, banking world. You know, I can take some of the, you know, kind of tweaks and niches out of the, say, hotel world and bring it into banking or bringing it into, you know, an accounting aspect, you know, which is not, you know, most people focus on one direction and not interacting or realizing how big of an effect they have even just within that company, let alone other industries. So for me, it was just a little bit more ambidextrous in life.
Absolutely. So what ended up changing things for you that pulled you away from corporate America and into the more artsy, right-brained area that you pretty much inhabit now? I mean, I know that the rocks and the gems, that's more or less branded specs and details about, you know, different things with rocks, and I understand that. But, you know, when you're working in an area such as what you do with art and with the other that you have done, how did that end up taking over, and what made you make that shift?
Honestly, some of it was very gradual, up to a point where I didn't even recognize it. When I had moved down here to not just to Florida, but to Fort Lauderdale specifically, you know, I was getting approached in different stores. Oh my gosh, where did you get that jewelry? You know, then me getting comfortable saying, well, I made it. Yes, it is for sale. And then trying to name a price to, you know, what had just come out of my head, which that kind of chained into doing more handmade events, first through, I guess, the quote-unquote indie crowd, because to me, they were the only ones that really focused on handmade vendors. You know, and then kind of after that, branching out, you know, still a little in the indie crowd, but also in, you know, the realm of art walks and that sort of thing. So the creative side, I had always done that on top of, you know, that to me was my relaxation. Processing payroll, I check out of there, shut that part of my brain off, get home, and then, you know, creativity, you know, happened as it will. And then just eventually it just, through a series, you know, some of it the economy helped. I think with the situations that were presented to me, some of it, you know, was just more of a awareness of what I wanted to do. Not what I had to do, but trying to figure out a way to blend what I had to do say, to make the landlord, make the electric and utility companies happy, make my tummy happy. And then also at the same time, like, make the rest of me happy, like, enjoy what I'm doing, you know, not doing the, oh, God, it's Monday, it's 8 o'clock, I got to go to work. You know, so trying to balance that somehow without wanting to destroy that creative side and making it too business. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, keep it fun, keep it creative, but, you know, still keep it playful and enjoyable, along with still, you know, hopefully making it profitable at the same time. So,
sure.
Which is why basically I kind of divide my time between the two companies that I have. It was just easier for me to separate the two. You know, to do one company where it was more, say, office work, bookkeeping, you know, that type of thing, almost on an on-call basis, and then the other one, keeping it more creative. And, you know, unfortunately, still semi-compartmentalizing my left brain from my right brain activities, but, yeah, so far it's worked for me, so...
Talk a little bit, Ilaria. This is, like, really great information, you know, especially for people who have a different way of approaching life that are listening right now. But can you talk a little bit about some of the different interests that you have and how you have incorporated that into, you know, the businesses that you do? Because, you know, you do the jewelry. And I know that there are some links up on my Facebook page on the beautiful jewelry that you've created. It's really, really pretty things. Yeah, and also you have done some work with Karma Kitty and with, you know, the Lapidary Guild. You talked a little bit about that. And just some of the other things that you have taken your skill sets and have been able to manifest into a business that's been able to help support you. You know, and it's something that I think a lot of people would really appreciate information about.
Oh, thank you, first off, for the compliments. Goodness, it's, if people want to, they can take notes. Otherwise, I'll try and put links up on my on the Facebook business pages that I have so you can get to these, because it's very, we'll say, eclectic. Let's see here. all right. My businesses, first I have what I call Done by Lorac. Just because, you know, that for me is my very left brain, you know, if someone just needs a bookkeeper for a couple hours and their CPA is charging $35 an hour, you know, I can do the same work. I don't have my CPA, but I have, you know, I'll be honest and tell someone if I, you know, if it's over my head. So I'll do what I can at a lower rate. So it's mutually beneficial for both of us. You know, with that company, I do house, pet, sitting, house cleaning, just kind of like the catch-all for, you know, that extra spare set of hands that we need from time to time. All right. Next is Divine Spirit Creations, which is my creative outlet. That's, you know, that for me is where I get my creative passion out. If I'm sketching with pastels or pencils or working with metal, or, you know, working, combining metal with gemstones and making jewelry, or, you know, just doing metal and making chainmail, doing, you know, also making pet products or pet accessories, pet toys, which, you know, I've got dog, cat covered, and actually some of my dog toys I found out from the science museum down here that they have large birds, eagles, raptors, that sort of thing. They still are playing with pet toys that they bought for me almost a year ago. And the birds are loving it. They're holding up great. I know, I was shocked. This Sunday when I go down, I have to take pictures of them because I'm so psyched up over it.
That's amazing, because a bird like that, they've got amazing capability of destroying something with those beaks of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking and hawks and other large birds. So to, you know, say that they actually still have the same toys they were, that you got for them a year ago, what are you making these toys out of, Ilaria?
I I get very selective, you know, whether it's, you know, making the toys or making jewelry. For me, I make it the way I would want, you know, the quality and the level that I would want to buy it at. I want it to last. I don't, to me, having, you know, something that lasts 6 months is not acceptable. I have a couple pairs of shoes that I wear once a week at least that I've had for 15, 16 years. You know, when they're in excellent condition. So, you know, for me, I get very picky as far as, say, with the toss toys, which is what the birds are using. It's a, you know, I look at the quality of the rope. I can't say it's specifically just marine rope or it's any particular type of rope because there's different brands that, from my aspect, I really don't care to work with. Whether it's either too hard on my hands to work with or to me it just, you know, looking back, it would not have survived my German Shepherds by any stretch of the imagination. And that's what I look at. I'm like, okay, how durable can I make these? Because I don't want someone to buy something and 3 months later they're having to pitch it because it fell apart. I mean, that to me, it would break my heart. And especially, too, with the pet stuff, you know, I take at least, you know, different times of the year I take the full amount, but at minimum of 50% of whatever I sell my pet items for, that amount goes into a fund that I hang on to that I call DSC Cares Fund. And what it is I work with two vets now that are in the South Florida area. And I would mention them, but they've asked me not to, so someone doesn't abuse this. But I work with them, so if they have someone that comes in and their animal needs medical attention, and, you know, say, especially right now, case in point, they're on unemployment or they just lost their unemployment, so they literally do not have the funds. And it comes down to, I want to save my animal, but I can't afford to. You know, we're going to have to put my animal down, even though it could be a life-saving procedure for them. The vets call me, and they're all they do is tell me, hey, I have someone. And that personally, that's all I want to know. I don't want to get too emotionally attached to whatever the situation is. So they tell me, hey, I got someone. I tell them, all right, I'm going to send you a check. And I look at what I have in the fund, and regardless of where I'm at, I take half of that, and I send it off for that animal. So I was actually just doing the accounting a couple days ago on that. This year alone, I personally feel that I've been blessed. I've actually donated, I want to say, about $800 to helping. What is it? I counted the checks. I think there was 8 checks that I sent out. So that's averaging, reasonable. You know, $100 that here this, you know, parent is, it's just an anonymous donation. And the two vets I work with, I've worked with before with my personal animals, and they helped me out by not, you know, even when I was working, they weren't price gouging me. Their primary focus was the animal's care and the animal's best interest. And that, for me, is very important.
Of course. Yeah. That's amazing. The fact that you do things like that for your community is remarkable. I wish more and more people could get involved. I think that there's a number of people out there who would go out of their way to take better care of their pets if they felt that there was somebody who could help support them in it. And, you know, you're right. It's difficult to make a decision between do I eat or do I feed my pets or do I take care of my pets? And that's incredible, you know, the fact that you do that. I'd like to just give a shout-out to anybody who's listening. And if you are able or in a position to contribute to Alaria's pet fund, please don't hesitate to contact her and to help her out with it. Because if this is the kind of work that she's doing, you know, and you are able to, it might be something for you to consider doing. The other option would be to find out whether or not you could end up donating to a local organization such as the SPCA in your area to help a pet that otherwise couldn't end up benefiting, you know, from, they would end up being put to sleep or worse, you know, basically being, you know, harmed because of what's unable to happen. So it's good work that you're doing. Larry, that's amazing. And the fact that you have which is pet toys that last that long. It's just remarkable. I'm very interested in finding out more details about that as well. I have a dog who likes to totally trash tennis balls. So, yeah, anything that you have that could prevent him from doing that would be okay in my book. So talk a little bit more about some of the other businesses that you do and some of the other things that, that can really help a lot of people. I mean, you know, finding one-of-a-kind art pieces because of the knowledge that you have of gemstones and rocks, that's really cool. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah,
how did you get
absolutely.
Involved with it?
Absolutely. Actually, let me, I want to add on to what you had just said. If you, like if anybody listening, if you don't know where the ASPCA or if you've had a bad experience, please look for a no-kill rescue group because what they do is they will actually try and rescue animals as their financial basis allows them out of these kill shelters. So, you know, one way or another, they're saving a life.
I'd also like, yeah, what you're talking about is very critically important. And there's one other thing that I would like very much to say to any of the listeners that are around right now. We're coming into the holiday season. And, Larry, I'm pretty sure you would probably agree with this statement as well. Please be mindful of your pets around your holiday decorations, and please make sure that they still get the same attention that you give them the rest of the year, because this is the time of the year where accidents are more likely to happen. Animals can end up ingesting things like mistletoe and holly berries, and it can be potentially fatal to them if they either it's some of it's toxic, and some of it is they can choke on it. So I just would like to say that if you are thinking about getting a pet as a gift, wait till after the holidays. Give the people that you are interested in giving a pet, give them the gift certificate and tell them to go and choose a pet at a shelter, ideally, because those are animals that are desperately seeking homes. And you can find some amazing pets there, too. So, yeah, if you would please continue now with our conversation now that I've given a public service
yeah.
message.
No, that's all right. Actually, on a lot of the business pages that I've mentioned so far, so on my Divine mm-hmm. Spirit Creations, on Done by Lorette, and actually Karma Kitty, which I'll touch on here, I've posted on there, it's like the top 10, you know, key things to remember with your pet, with your indoor pets,
mm-hmm.
as far
mm-hmm.
as there's certain things that we put, you know, or that are in baked goods, like in cake mixes, that are unbelievably toxic to animals. So, you know, if you're on Facebook, please, this isn't a solicitation for you to, you know, become a fan if you're really not. But, you know, try and look for information like that so that your pet enjoys the holidays as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next, Karma Kitty. My friend, my awesome, you know, sister by another mother and father, Joyce, who's up in Stewart, has always had her business called Karma Kitty, and she got approached to start doing a internet radio show on the Women for Women network. So between the two of us, we started her Karma Kitty page, which she, I'm just blessed that I can help her with, you know, with her seeing her goal through. We both share different metaphysical topics, you know, hilarious animal pictures. Trust me, I spend hours trying to find some of these pictures with captions just that tickle my funny bone, and I figure if it tickles mine, it'll tickle yours. So we do that, you know. We introduce the, we still have the Karma Kitty page. I want to say she's over 300 now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's all been word of mouth and all through the radio show. It's been phenomenal. We actually started a crew group for all of the Karma Kitty people that way you didn't have to friend people on Facebook just to find out what's going on. So we have like our little social group, and then we have, you know, the topics and the funny pictures and that sort of stuff. Whereas the group is more, hey, look at the goofy stuff I'm doing, or, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
And Joyce actually, starting in January, is going to have a second radio show. I know she's been talking with Judy Hall that does a lot of the crystal books to try and get her on the show. It's just, it's snowballed. I get overwhelmed by it. And Joyce doesn't really tell me she gets overwhelmed, but all I know is if I get overwhelmed by it, she has to be to some degree, even though it's her passion. So you don't, and I know, I understand that, you know, when it's your passion, you don't feel overwhelmed. You just keep feeling that gratitude for everything that's coming in. With Joyce is actually the one that introduced me to both Carrie and Elsa Stokes down here in Fort Lauderdale. It was via a holiday party that was actually, coincidentally that year, it was the day before my birthday. So me being a huge birthday geek, it was, yes, it's a party for me after midnight.
There you go. Hey, you know what? You're not the only adult party geek. I personally like celebrating my birthday. And, you know, like you, mine is like in December. And, yeah, I tend to sort of get, people don't remember it. I'm used to that. But it doesn't mean I don't like celebrating it any less. It's kind of fun, you know. And so I totally understand that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Birthdays, I mean,
have always been a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll scream it to the rooftops. I am so looking forward to turning 40. Yay! and most, I'm sure my younger brother would, like, smack me in the back of the head at the moment because he's like, uh-uh, don't. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I celebrate half birthdays. So, and maybe it's the December thing. I don't know.
Well, it could be that.
It
just simply could be that, you know, I think it depends on, you know, your upbringing and how you were raised. I have grandparents who are in their 90s, and we still celebrate their birthdays, and we have for many, many years. And the two of them don't act their age, and it's really entertaining because the stuff that comes out of their mouths, you never know what they're going to pop up with next. But, you know, birthdays have always been something that we've made a big deal of in our family. So, yeah, totally with you on that one. So can you talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the wonderful things that you create? You know, you obviously create these amazing pet toys, and, you know, you have Karma Kitty, and, you know, the Lapidary, you're a part of the Lapidary Guild, too, right, in your area? And you'd mentioned Beth and Sherry Stokes, too, and so I'd like to hear some more about what you do with them.
All righty. Well, both Carrie and Elsa have their respective companies, and they basically, you know, when it comes to workshops and seminars, they both kind of pop in and feed off each other. It's, you know, amazing energy. Elsa has her company, Angel Healing Wings, and then she also started a call-in hotline for people looking for angel guidance called angelshotline.com. There's, again, everything is on Facebook. It also has links directly to their webpage. And if anybody emails me, I can email you the direct link if you don't do Facebook or don't want to. It's all right. Carrie has Medicine Wind Warrior, where he focuses more shamanically with, you know, what he's learned and traveled around and picked up through his life and studying with a lot of the shamans down in Peru. So he's coming from that niche. Of the shaman world, I guess. Let's see here, both of them. There's also the Lapidary Guilds. I'm part of the Miami Lapidary Guild and also the Fort Lauderdale. And by Lapidary Guild, it's basically people who enjoy crystals, rocks, stones, cutting stones, making jewelry. That's all it is. It's big, huge scientific words where it comes down to, I like playing with rocks, whether it's going out and digging for them in the dirt or setting them into jewelry. We get to play with rocks and we get to call it a science. It's awesome. anybody who's interested, if you're not in South Florida, you can Google the American Federation for mineralogy, and AmFed has links on their site to the different regions. So, say down here we're part of the Eastern Federation, and then once you get into whatever geographical federation you would fall under, there's links on those pages to different clubs in your area. And you can go. Typically, it's really not that much. I think most clubs are, say, under $20 a year for membership. And that's, you know, that gets you seminars and workshops every month and, you know, classes and that sort of stuff. Usually the classes you have to pay a little bit more for, but that you have that opportunity to take those classes. So, and it's socially fun. Like down here, we get the three clubs together and we have a picnic every couple of, you know, every couple of months. So we do potlucks, so we get food and we get games and then we shop and buy from each other and spend at least what we just made. So it's all good.
Oh, it sounds like you enjoy yourselves. Yeah, I was just thinking that the Lapidary Guild, if anything like what you have explained, it's a bunch of rock hounds getting together and having a really great time playing with rocks and gems and stones. And yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm sure that each of the stones that you work with, and I'm sure you have your favorites. What are some of your favorite rocks and crystals and gemstones that you really like working with to make jewelry from?
Oh, all right. Let me touch base on that. I have one more company, group, whatever, that I totally forgot, and I don't want to forget.
Okay. Oh, please
don't. I don't
want to
forget my peeps out there. Down here in South Florida, we had created Handmade South Florida. Three words, Handmade South Florida. I wanted, to me, growing up in the Midwest, it was all about family, it was all about neighbors. And to me, that was kind of my vision or my hope for down here with all the vendors networking, helping each other, being more social and helping each other out, not just saying hi or grabbing a drink at a show or after a show. So luckily, like all my handmade, handcrafted artists, I just want to say hi to you all. See, I mentioned. Okay. Crystals. A lot of it depends. If I have someone, if they're very open and they're like, hey, I want you to make me a bracelet. This is what's going on in my life. Do what you want. I feel that I channel what stones need to go into whatever jewelry item they've commissioned for me. In general, I guess I don't really have preferences. Trust me, I lost a walk-in closet and a half to crystals and, you know, stones and beads and, yeah. So I have a wide assortment, and by no means do I have them all. But I, you know, in general, probably the most catch-all, amethyst is an all-over general healer, whether it's mentally, emotionally, physically. Rose quartz is always a great one for immune system. Also, you know, bringing in love and bringing in kind of the lighter side of things. And then clear quartz, you know, in any form or fashion, wherever it is, I call it like a power kicker or a booster, or almost like an amplifier. If someone out there is a little bit more techie, think of it as an amplifier. You know, clear quartz just magnifies whatever is near it or whatever the situation is. So for me, I recommend keeping clear quartz next to, say, amethyst, which personally I have in my quote-unquote financial corner of my house.
Mm-hmm.
For those that are familiar with the feng shui, or, you know, if you want to Google it later on, I keep clear quartz next to citrine and green adventurine, which both, you know, are said to have properties as far, you know, when it comes to financial matters in the positive aspect. Amazonite, depending on how you want to pronounce it, it's like a bluish, almost like a green sea color kind of, was essential for me working in corporate as I was slowly doing my shift. It's really good for calming emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So that way for me, someone's screaming at me on the phone, I'm not taking it personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And that way, too, it kind of lightened up and made the office a little bit more peaceful. So anybody with businesses, pyrite, you can have just like a piece in your desk or, you know, whether it's at work or at your home office, pyrite is very good for legal affairs or business dealings. So, yeah, there's far too many to kind of say just this is my favorite. It all just, you know, it gravitates for me. Even people want like grounding or calming. Some people I'll channel and I'll use Onyx or Jet. For me personally, I don't use either one. But again, I'm a little different. So I personally use Smoky Quartz or Garnet. Just for me, those colors and the vibration are much more soothing and grounding for me. So some of it depends on the person itself. Some depends on the situation. I've kind of taken an approach with a lot of the crystals that I work with. If, you know, if people are into astrology, I've combined the two. And I've been doing crystal astrology now for a couple years where I'll correlate the crystals depending on where things are at in your chart. So, you know, say based primarily on your sun, your rising or your ascendant, and your moon, different crystals interact differently. And it's not necessarily your birthstones. It could be stones that you really don't think of. I'll use me, for example, with my rising sign. I've always used smoky quartz as kind of like a grounding protection. And that's something that, for me, I can wear, you know, 24 hours if I wanted to and not feel loopy or feel like I took 4 Benadryl, which I would never, ever, ever recommend to anybody. Not that I've ever done it, but, you know, I'm just using that because I'm the Sag and I'm dramatic. But based on my astrology, I have a rising sign of Scorpio, which smoky quartz is an abundant stone if your ascendant is in Scorpio. Not necessarily if you are a Scorpio.
Interesting.
A lot of times,
so I've got
all
one for
over.
You. I've got a question for you, Alarius. Okay, I'm going to give you a scenario. Okay, we're going to use me as an example here. My sun is a Capricorn. Rising is Sagittarius. I don't remember off the top of my head what my moon sign is. Where would you go with that if you were going to make, say, a necklace for someone like me? I know what my favorite colors are, but, you know, I'd let you pick and choose.
Basically, I would, with the Capricorn, garnet. You know, unless, like, that would be my first choice would be garnet. You know, unless, and there's different choices depending on, you know, your sun sign. Like, if someone's like, I don't like it. I'll kind of correlate off of yours. My mother's Capricorn hates garnet. Mm-hmm. Like, not hates, but she never wore it. And I'd made her a bracelet that I had channeled for her. She loves it. She says she wears it all the time. So usually it's if we're repelled by a color or a particular stone, that's actually, believe it or not, that's actually one that we need those properties more than what we realize. And so we're resisting that change.
Interesting.
But for you, I would do garnet. And because your ascendant's in Sagittarius, I would do topaz, like a yellow topaz.
Oh, wow.
So,
Sounds like it would be a combination.
Yeah, and the yellow topaz, too, it brings out those positive characteristics of the Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of thirst for knowledge, the joy for life. So.
Oh, did I mention that I'm also on the, I'm on the cusp of Sag, too? My birthday is the 23rd of December. I'm not in January.
Well, then you kind of, yeah, you dance a little bit more probably with the Sag than a lot of them. Like, I mean, you're still Capricorn. To me, like, yeah, you can be on the cusp with that.
which just means to me anyways that you have a little bit more tendency towards the other sign, regardless of what planets are in there. But a Sag is a Sag is a, you know, and a Capricorn's a Capricorn, and an Aries is an Aries, and, you know, and the reason why some of those fluctuate for those people who kind of like me go, wait a sec, I'm this, and say my parent is also the same sign, and you're totally different. You can be the same sun sign, but depending, your rising sign or your ascendant is the personality that you put out to most people. So that's always going to vary. And so that's how you get a lot of the personality differences, is how the rest of your chart falls out, you know, whether it's your moon or your ascendant or where Jupiter's at or, you know, anything like that. Because personal experience, I grew up, my father's also a Sag, and he's 3 days after me. My mother's a Capricorn. Oh, my, I could never understand. Like, I understood how he thought, but there were certain things that he would do, and I'm like, how can we both be Sagittarius? Like, he's very quiet and reserved, and here I was as a kid, even with no sugar, I was bouncing off the walls. Sugar had no effect on me in that respect. I bounced whether I had it or not.
I will remember. Yeah, I'll remember to keep you away from Mocotonics then, if that's the case. It'll make you bounce off the walls. Yeah, it'll make you bounce off the walls.
Oh no, trust me. For years, I was banned. Every corporate office I worked at, I was banned from like 3 feet around the coffee maker. They're like, no coffee for you.
I would just like to say that if anybody out there who is listening would like to contact Alaria to have her work with you in order to create a very unique piece of jewelry as a gift, or to find a really good fit for you for a pet toy, or to get some additional reading advice, you know, for aligning with your zodiac sign and your what rocks or, you know, what crystals would really be beneficial for you. Larry, would you please give people your email?
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to say it and then I'll spell it, just because the spelling throw, or the words throw people off every once in a while. It's the name of my company, which is Divine Spirit Creations at yahoo.com. Divine is spelled D-I-V-I-N-E. Like, that's my Catholic Church background coming. Spirit, because to me everything comes from above, regardless of what you want to call it above. And then creations, with an S at the end, because we create the life that we experience, and we actually right now are creating the life we're going to have in 5 minutes, in an hour, in 10 years from now. So Divine Spirit Creations at yahoo.com. The company name, I also, like I said, I have the business page on Facebook. You can message me through there. If you want to email me and ask for the direct links to any of the companies that I've mentioned, or, you know, some other, resource, I'd be happy to forward the information on to you.
That would be great. I would like to thank you, Alaria, for coming on to the show today, and I hope that you and all the rest of our listeners have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And this is blogtalkradio.com/CGM Radio, and this is Namaste Nutrition. And Alaria, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope we can have you back again as a guest at some point in the near future. It was a real pleasure having you here.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope everybody listening enjoyed it even half as much as what I enjoyed being a guest on your show.
Absolutely. You have a marvelous Thanksgiving, and to all of our listeners, you too also. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving wherever you are, and remember to keep tabs on your pets, and I will see you back on the air next Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Namaste.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens, We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Today's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Oh, nuts! There's a bobcat in this cave! Save us, Sassy! You will, but first you'd like to stress the importance of cat adoption? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year and they need to be adopted? Help us, Sassy! Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.